Hello, lovely listeners. It's Laura here because I have some very exciting news to share with you. We are getting back on the road and doing not one, not two, but three live shows before the end of the year, and tickets are out now. All of the shows are going to be in Bush Hall in London. Basically, think of it as a Go Love Yourself residency at this point. Our first one is going to be on the 30th of October, and it's going to be our Halloween party. So make sure you get those tickets ASAP so you can see everyone's fabulous outfits. You can find more information and the link to the tickets in the episode description and all across our Instagram at Go Love Yourself Pod. We cannot wait to see you there. This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome to Go Love Yourself. Do you know what a drenny poo is? A drenny poo, because I feel like that now.
No.
Yeah, when you're excited, you feel like you need a shit. You've just given me that now, and I'm like, I'm only going to bed and cooking spaghetti bolognese. Hardly anywhere to go.
Oh my God, we have such an exciting episode for you today with not one, but two brilliant guests. One of them you may have heard of, it's only bloody Katie Price. And we're also joined by her fabulous sister, Sophie, who she co-hosts the brand new podcast, The Katie Price Show, with. So hello, both of you, and welcome to Go Love Yourself.
Oh, hello.
We were talking about fivesomes before this, and it's all gotten very polite and very formal. I don't know why.
That would be a headline. This is my first fivesome ever.
So we have got something on Go Love Yourself called The Bag of Dicks. And it's basically, we put something in the bag of dicks every week that's pissed us off. It could be anything. So both Sophie and Katie, is there something you want to put in the bag of dicks this week?
Yeah. EDF.
EDF.
EDF energy.
Yeah, because they've come out and checked my bloody meters, and then I've got an 18 grand bill and then another one for 5 grand in 1 week. So Jess has called them to say, why has she done, what's this? And they're like, oh no, she hasn't got that. Well, why am I getting letters for it? So we've now set up direct debits for them so they can't make that mistake, and they'll make sure they don't send me any more letters.
Oh, well done.
They've pissed
me off. Adulting right there.
That is very, honest. 100 guesses as well wouldn't have gone that Katie Price is in the back of dicks with EDF energy.
There you go. I love it.
Come on then, Sophie, what's yours?
Estate agents. They are game players.
Yeah, they just want their commission. And I just think, even like renting now, if you want to go and rent somewhere, they choose. They get like loads of people now, and they choose. It's so different to back in the day. Lucky I don't have to do that.
I'm with you. I'm moving house at the moment, and they're all useless sack of shits, so I have to say, all of them.
Sorry to any estate agents listening. We love you, but stop it.
So for anyone that doesn't know or hasn't listened yet to the Katie Price Show, can you tell us a little bit about it and what the idea, like, how did it come about?
No, it's literally just me and Kate catching up for an hour every week.
And I don't know how people are interested, but I think what it is, they can relate to our conversations, because it's like everyday life. It's not about all glitz and glam, although we go over stories of that. I think we just have a moan up and then we read out what trolls have said, which we love that.
Oh yeah, that's funny. We quite like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely love a troll that slags the podcast off, especially when one said, it's like watching paint dry. And I said, well then, don't watch it, just listen to it.
Oh, like,
do you know what I mean? But they still took the time to write the message and send it. So I say thank you for your energy for doing that.
I know. Do you guys ever get any trolls or anything like that?
Not as much now. When I don't know if you know, I was on the Bake Off, but I got trolled to shit after
oh,
that,
really?
Like horrific.
Did you?
Death threats, because I got through over someone else. They had like the press outside my house. It was during lockdown. I think like Daily Mail had nothing better to do. it was a bit rough. But what about you? Because like, I imagine, is it still constant, like trolling and also like the media? Like, because you, I feel like you do. I think unfairly, you get picked apart so much. Like you are constantly under scrutiny.
Well, luckily for the podcast and the shows that I do now, like a lot of the people do say, we actually really like you, because they've judged me by the media, because the media feel like they own me, and they just write whatever they want. They get a pitch and write whatever they want, and it's never good, and it never ever is good. You know, they say once you're up, you come down. I've never even been up. I'm still climbing that ladder because I'm always getting knocked down. Obviously, I've had therapy and still have therapy to deal with, because there's been horrific stuff. And when I had like my breakdown like 4 years ago, and they were still writing stuff even when I was in the Priory, do you remember? Yeah. So they're still writing about that, and they're not really allowed to do that. And it's like, just give me a break.
Even our mum's just had a lung transplant. And
she was in a coma at this time.
Yeah, she was in a coma. And one newspaper basically quoted mum. And we were like, she's in a coma. Like,
oh my God.
Like slagging me off saying her mum said this, she's not happy. And we're like, there's absolutely no way my mum could have said this. She's in a coma. It's things like that that's distasteful. And then I get drones over my house all the time. And like, but there's nothing else around my house. There's no reason. But they go over to the garden centre and pop the drones up. And then they wait on the motorbikes at each end of the road on walkie-talkies. It's like, I don't understand it. So what I try and do now is try and do my own pictures on a phone or something if I'm out and about, just to stop them doing it.
I do find, though, also, like, now, in regards to, like, the trolling comments, you almost go numb to it now. Like, you don't look at it and get, yeah, like, oh, my God, oh, they've had someone saying this about me or whatever. You shut down.
But that's
down.
What's not healthy. Because I've done it for so many years, this is what I learned in therapy. Because I've put up with so many stories, you know, I've been doing this industry since I was 17, and I think the first headline I had on the front page of The Sun was about Teddy Sheringham, a footballer. I'd never even done anything on it. I only went on a date, didn't even have sex, nothing. And the front page was on my bed, Ted, instead of on your head, Ted. Mm. And I remember it was my manager who set me up to meet him. And she was the only person that knew. And then she phoned me up going, oh, my God, darling, you're not going to believe this. You're the front page of The Sun. You know, I'd literally just started. I was only like 18. And I was mortified because it wasn't true. And then he didn't want to see me again after that. And it, like, till this day, it wasn't me who did that. So now I'm like 45. I've had so many stories. And then after a while, you're like, yeah, no, it doesn't bother me in interviews. No, it doesn't bother me, because you have to learn to deal with it. And then it all kept caught up when I had my breakdown about everything. And it's not healthy to think, oh, give it, you know, who cares? When I am human, I have got feelings and it does hurt. But I suppose you've just got to learn to deal with it. And it is exhausting mentally to deal with it. But these journalists, it's like, I just don't know what they gain out of it. Like, I've done such good things in my life, and I still do, like, with my laws. I'm trying to do the track troll, Harvey's Law. They never write about that. Why? Because it's good. They don't really write about the charity yesterday, only a picture of me and Princess. They don't actually say why we're actually there for the good cause. Do you know what I mean? It's like anything they can find to slag me off. But I'm still here, so I'm not going to moan, because it's the people who are listening, the people who are there, like, you know, on all the socials, your followers and everything. So I'm still here because of them people, so I can thank them. And not everyone is horrible. And there's a lot of people who do stick up for me on these socials, so I can only thank them. So that it's not all bad, but you do get bad. And obviously Harvey gets really trolled. And he doesn't understand it, so I have to be his voice.
I find that really upsetting, like, really upsetting. I don't know, as a mum, like, how you cope with that, because it's one thing to slag you off, but you're an adult, and I just, honestly, I don't know how you cope with that.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, the racial abuse he gets. They take the mick about his disability. There's someone at the moment on TikTok.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
And I must admit, this guy really does look like Harvey. And I haven't said his name yet because I'm ready to out him. I'm going to go to the police about him and do it properly, because it's a thing now. Mm. Getting all these videos, but I'm not going to lie, he does do an impression of Harvey really well. But the thing is, he's a normal guy, and he's just getting followers for doing it. Do you know what I mean? And it's got to stop. It's not funny. Like, we can all take the piss out of each other. Like, and we can all have humour, because we all want to be matter of fact and have humour and take the piss. But you know when you've gone
too far.
Yeah, of
course. And to do it to someone who's, like, vulnerable with disabilities, innocent, doesn't understand. Yeah.
But the funny thing is, I did a video and showed Harvey the person. I went, Harvey, who's that? And you went, it's Harvey.
Oh,
because it looks like him. So even Harvey thought it was him. I'm like, no, Harv, that's not you. That's someone being horrible about you, Harv. Mm. And then he just went, what a dick.
Is that what he said?
What a dick.
Put him in the bag of dicks.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, put him in the bag of dicks. The thing is, the trolls are always going to be there. You're never going to stop it.
No.
And half the time, if you met these people, if these people met me in life, they wouldn't say it. They don't actually know me. They just go on by media and stuff. I am crazy and nuts. Don't get me wrong. I am nuts and crazy, but I actually don't do anything bad. I'm not a bad person. Do you know what I mean? I do like to have a laugh and I'm just honest, and sometimes I'm too honest and that's what gets me into trouble. But I'm starting to grow up.
I feel like you're quite unique in that. And I find this so sad, is that I think a lot of people hate follow you.
Yes.
And I don't get it.
I've noticed that.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I, a long time ago, I stopped reading the Daily Mail 7 years ago because it made me feel like shit.
So did I. I deleted the app.
I like to look at Daily Mail before I go to sleep. Scroll through it.
And same with like following people that I don't like or don't make me feel good or whatever. You grow up and you move on, but there seems to be a lot of people who do hate follow you, if I'm honest, and it's just baffling to me.
I've never heard that expression. I'm going to nick that off you. I'm going to put that in my pocket.
I just think that's it. They follow you just to be dicks, because I've looked at some of the comments that you get. It's just unbelievable. Like, how are we in 2023 and people are still doing this online? Like, I just don't get it. And so
it's the boring ones. When they're like, talk about surgery or plastic or this, that, it's like, yawn. That's so boring. I admit what I have done. Big deal. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So what? And that's another thing. There's so many people out there who have had nips, tucks or surgery or, and they don't tell anyone about it, even though it's obvious they have. Fair enough if they don't want to say it, but I don't care telling people what I've had done. And I'm like, I actually really don't care, because if I have had a procedure and it hurts or whatever, I'll be like, oh, don't do that. Like, I had my lips dissolved and I did it live on TikTok. And there were people in the background going, is she all right? Because it was like I was giving birth, the noises I was making, because it hurt so much.
God. Yeah.
It was horrific.
Oh, God.
But I don't mind sharing it, because it's real. People got to remember, when you have surgery, you don't just, you've got the middle bit, and people have to understand, when you have surgery, you come out of surgery and you've got to go through all the pain, all the swelling down, all of this before you get the right picture. But people don't ever show that in between, whereas I do. That's the difference. It's not fun having surgery. It is painful. And you've got to go through the stages of it,
Yeah.
Look at you like, yeah.
Totally understand, yeah.
A lot of people will say, like, and we, again, talk about trolls or just anyone, because I feel like, because you are so honest and I think you are a really genuine person, and you, because you've been in the public eye since you were so young, I almost feel like people feel like they kind of, like you said, like the press feel like they kind of own you or whatever. And like, I find that really odd.
Yeah.
And I feel like we live in a society, in a world where like there's so much pressure to be slim and beautiful and look like youthful. Yeah. And then, so then you have these like procedures, whatever, because you're kind of constantly told like you look like shit. Then you have them and then it's like, oh, you've gone too far. Like, do you sort of feel like you can't win? Because a lot of people do say like that they think you've like gone too far, but it's your choice.
Oh, God,
isn't it?
Yeah. But what I'd say back at them is they don't know Jordan. Now, Jordan, because even my younger kids are like, who's Jordan? I'm like, oh, just 20 years of stuff you don't know. People have got to remember, when I started, it is pure hard work. There was no Instagrams, no social media whatsoever. So I literally was in competition with girls, and you only had newspapers and magazines. So I've grafted and I did it natural, apart from my boobs. So I did it natural without airbrushing, without filters. So I know deep down, I was a model, a proper model for like 20 odd years. I mean, I'm 45 now. So if I choose to do something to my face, I will. But I know deep down, I did the journey natural. Whereas now you get girls, 18 upwards, who are having all these procedures on their face and lips. I know I do, but I am 45.
I know.
And they all look the same.
I think it's nuts.
And when you see them on Instagram or whatever, the filter, don't get me wrong, I use filters, but I also admit I'm old enough to make, I've done my career doing my modelling, so I'm old enough to do it, but they're so young. What are they going to look like when they're 45? And that's the worry. Some people have to not just take their money and just fill their lips or their faces, because they all look like aliens, a lot of them.
I think it's hard. Like, I'm all for body autonomy. I think people should do whatever they want. But I do find it a bit worrying when you see young girls, like you say, like that don't need all the fillers and stuff because they've got no wrinkles, like putting all that stuff in their face. And like you said, it's almost like everyone wants to look the same. And if you've got like a bigger nose or whatever, whereas before that would be like character, it's like, no, I want it like everyone else's. And I find that really sad.
I sit here because I think I sound like a hypocrite. I'm definitely not a hypocrite, because I'm trying to put across to people, I have surgery, I know I do. My mum's always like, what are you doing next? You don't need this, you need that. I've never thought I'm good looking and I still don't. Maybe I've got body dysmorphia, and I have to admit I've got body dysmorphia because I'm always changing stuff. And I know sometimes when I've gone too far, I've been there done with all the fillers. I don't have fillers now. I do in my lips and I have Botox because it got to a point where my face just looked like a balloon, like really shiny in a balloon. You've got to have some movement. But like I say, my mum says, you're going to have more surgery in your face. Yes, mum, I'm going to look transparent when I'm older. You'll see all my veins because it would be pulled that much.
God.
But I'm fine at the minute. I'm getting my lips done this week and I don't need to do anything yet. Not yet, but I will. I'll still continue the journey and probably look like a freak in about 10 years. But that's me.
Well, this is the point, but that's you. And also that's your decision. And so like Laura said, like I'm very much about body autonomy. And I think probably a conversation that people might have when they see that we've got you on this on our podcast is about kind of the topic of surgery, but also because we're about loving yourself as you are. But
yeah.
I'm 34 now, I'm almost 35, and a lot of my friends have started to have Botox and fillers, and it's something that just happens. And it's kind of like, there is a conversation of accepting you as you are, but it's also your choice if you want to. It's just about perhaps making sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. So, you know, those younger girls who are like 18 years old and filling their faces with filler, I think perhaps on the whole are doing it for the wrong reasons because they're doing it to fit in or to look a certain way. Whereas if I want to do it when I'm 40, that's because I want to do it when I'm 40. Do you know what I mean? So it's all about, it's your decision, doing it for the right reasons kind of thing.
But I will admit, there's probably reasons why I've probably, not saying I've got body, I probably have got body dysmorphia because I've always had men say, oh, you're this, you're that. I've always wanted my boobs done, don't get me wrong. Always wanted my boobs done. And I never had my boobs done for a career and I've never had surgery for a man. But because I'm actually quite an insecure person, I want to be loved and that, it's like, I just feel if I do it, it makes me feel better. So there is a problem psychological somewhere, and I think it's triggered by men. Because what you've got to remember, they didn't have social media back in the day. And I started Botox was like when I was 27. I think I had my lips done when I was like 23 and they looked hideous. But now I do it because I can and I know I'm older. But yeah, maybe before, I don't know, I just felt like that's how I needed to look. I don't know the answer. But there's obviously underlying reasons why I probably did it. And now I'll probably get to know what they are through, I don't know.
More therapy.
Don't know. Because my mum's always said there's a pattern. She's always like, if you've broken up with someone or you've done this, you then go and do something to your body or you change your hair.
I think when you're feeling vulnerable, that's when you tend to do stuff. Mm. I think before, in the past, I think it's been like a form of self-harm.
Mate, it probably personally. Is. But it doesn't last. And then you move it on because you want something else and again and again. And it is addictive surgery. Look at me now, I've started tattoos and now I want more.
Do you think it's fair to say that you've got like quite an addictive personality? Like from what you've said, like kind of jumping onto things.
I am a typical Gemini. If I want something, I have to have it. And I want it now. Like I'll even like tonight, if there's something I found that I wanted on eBay or something, and the only option is if I got it tonight, I would make sure I get to Scotland for that thing if I need it. And I've bought a horse once before and I saw it in the picture and videos. I remember Blaze, the one I did Horse of the Year show with.
Oh, yeah.
I said, look, I know I haven't seen the horse, but I want it. Just can you send it down to me? And then I got it the next day and I hadn't even tried the horse. That's what I'm like.
So impulsive as well, would you say?
Yeah. But I think that comes with me being... where Sophie would take a smooth path and I would definitely take the rocky, challenging path. And it's sort of inside, I get excited like, is it going to work? Oh my God, what's going to happen? And then I do it and then I wait for the explosion. And then I'm like, oh, whew, there wasn't an explosion on this. Oh, let's push it a bit further. And I think that's what I've done in my career. There's been so many press calls I've done where I've dressed up like half a horse. And
I was
going
to say that
lips.
As soon as you started saying it, I was like, I need to ask her about the horse one. That was iconic.
These ideas come in my... I mean, look at me now. Look at Soph's wallpaper and her pillow hiding her wallpaper coming off the wall. But then if you look at my... Right, look behind in my office, right? I've got Barbie stuck on the wall doing the splits and that. I've got a naked mannequin. Cake sprinkles with glitter. That's my head. Chaos, like creative. that's held me in so for different. And so, like, with my press school, so many people have gone, no, you can't do that, Kate, you can't. And the more they say, I'm like, I can, I know it will work. I know it will work, and then it does.
It does. And the horse thing is iconic that, what, 15 years later, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's like a Halloween moment. Do you know what I mean? I it's so brilliant. But I was going to say, like, so Sophie, like me, I've got a sister as well. Me and my sister Abby, we're so different. I'm a bit loud and scatty, and she's I'm loud and scatty. And Abby's not. And we're sort of chalk and cheese in that way. And I think that's what makes us even closer, because we're also very similar. Mm. Like, what are the differences between you both?
Oh, I think I'm more calmer.
Oh, are you joking?
I am more calmer than you.
Right. Not with me. Right. We had this discussion, here we go.
No, Kate thinks I lose my shit quicker than what she does.
She does. I'll tell you why.
Here we go.
When it's family, you lose it
because no one fucking listens to me.
This is the most sister moment ever.
Like, so right, well, fuck off then, I'm not doing this. Like, well, don't
need. Just not.
Then my mum comes on, like, sort it out, you two. No. And then so it's like, no. And then I click myself out the family chat. And then so puts me back on the next day.
I want to go back to talking a little bit about like body image and body confidence. Like, how would you describe your relationship with your body and how you look now? And has that changed over the years?
Okay, first of all, I don't do enough self-care.
Yes.
This is what my therapists say to me all the time. They made me do like a pie chart. When I was in the pro, they make you do like a circle, you know, like a pie chart. Mm-hmm. And in that pie chart, you've got to put in what you do. For example, how much time do you spend with the family? How much time do you spend at work? How much time do you spend on yourself? And mine was literally 3/4 of work. And then the majority of it was kids. And then it was just one little one of self-care. Because I do everything for everyone else. You know, like to get ready for a night out. Forget that. I'll be the type like, all right, I'm coming. Or I'll do my makeup in the car. I can't remember the last time I had relaxed in the bath, shaved my legs, put my creams on and had time to do my makeup, have a glass of champagne, put the music on, have your friends around. Yeah. What outfit shall I wear? That. Shall I wear this, that? Oh, I can't wait. I can't remember them days.
Yeah.
I mean, look at us on the podcast. It's like, I don't even make an effort.
No, but it's like when you put makeup on, like I really only wear makeup now on a Saturday.
Yeah, to look at woods and fucking flowers.
Like the other day, I turned up to Mum's because we had a bit of a barbecue and Kate was like, oh, you put makeup on? I was like, yeah, it's Saturday.
Do you remember the time in which, like, there would have been a time in your life when, like, Sunday was the non-make, you wore makeup 6 days a week and not, and now it's the other way around. That is adulthood, my friends.
Do you know what? I would love to be one of those girls at 7:30 on the central line.
They are queens.
With the blow-dried hair, the makeup, the glasses on the edge of their nose, you know what I mean? I'd love to do that, but I just think it would take me 2 hours to try and do that.
But also, I don't understand. Like, they're ethereal goddesses. Like, last week was a bit of a heatwave in the UK, and I got on the train home from Charing Cross, and my neck was dripping sweat. I didn't know that was possible, right?
Yes.
And then you've got these girls in front of me who are, like, 21, who look like they live in the Antarctic because not a bead of sweat has touched their face all day. And I'm like, it's not fair.
And the TOWIE girls, you know, like, all the TOWIE girls, they always look immaculate. They're... Oh, to me, that is an effort.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
No.
Oh, no, because you must spend like a couple of hours, they must be, doing their hair and makeup every day.
Self-care for me is trying to do a skincare routine and sticking to it.
Oh, I don't even do that.
I don't either, Katie. I just can't be up, but it's all confusing.
Yeah, it is. Like, what's retinol and this acid shit? Also, I had to ask you about it, didn't I?
Yeah, and I said, it's too much for your skin.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it. All I use... It's like if the kids haven't poured all my bottles and all that in the water, shampoo sometimes. Like, that's why today I thought, you know, I'm going to hide it from Bunny because she's the worst. She gets all my good stuff. There's no point.
Yeah.
But all that cleansing before bed and toning. Oh, my God, are you joking? When I want to go to bed, I'm in bed. Fuck that.
So am I. Sometimes I use Elbert's nappy wipes on my face.
Oh, my God. I'm very into skincare and you just said that to me and I want to cry about it.
I'm sorry.
But that's why I don't wear makeup. because I can't be bothered to take it off.
Same. It's effort, isn't it? But like, you look at teenagers today and they're all contoured and everything, and it's all like, yeah, it must have taken hours. I literally bought a foundation from the market that was three shades too dark. I was orange for most of my teenage years.
When they put all brown here and brown, I've tried it and I look like I'm ready for the army. Like, I'd have no idea how you blend it, this and that. It's awful. And not only that, I find now if I put makeup on, it actually makes me look older. Like, so I think under here, because your skin
it starts to sink into the lines.
Yes.
And it's not cute. And there's no makeup that doesn't do that.
There's not one cream, I'm sorry, that gets rid of wrinkles.
Yes. So, Lauren, you're really into your skincare then?
Yes, ma'am.
Like, what's your routine?
Girl, I've got the retinol, I've got the acid, I've got the night cream. I got the serums. Like, if you want to cover it, I'll give you a nice little facial. You can have 5 minutes. But like Katie said, there is no product in this world that is going to stop you aging. You can just maybe look less like a handbag when you're 70 if you start moisturising when you're like 20.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
And surgery doesn't make you look younger either, people have got to know. I've never really been wrinkly, but if you took my implants out, right, all my fillers out my lips, what would I really look? I took my hair extensions out. Oh my God. And my teeth now, they're all on pegs.
Is your natural hair still curly?
Oh my God, you used to have really curly hair, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah. When I go on holiday.
Oh, I love your hair curly though.
Because my extensions go straight and then I get like a frizz on top. It's so ugly. Why can't I be one of them girls that can come out the sea with the wet hair and it dries just nice and straight? Not me.
But Katie, how many people in this world want to be one of those girls with naturally curly hair? Like, I remember, you know, like the pictures of you when you were like, when you were a teenager, your beautiful curly hair. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
See, I think as you get older, you sort of learn to know what how you look better. And I do think, I'm not saying now, but I think I look better than what I did when I was younger. People might agree and say, no, you don't, you look fake. But I feel like I look better.
Do you feel better?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because that's the most important thing, isn't it, really? It's like, do you feel better? Like more happier, more confident, more all of that? Because we're talking a lot about looks and it's kind of, you know, how do you feel?
I'm not done yet. I'll let you know when I'm happy with my looks. But the thing is, I don't want to, because I'm starting to look like where people would look at me. They're either looking at me because they know who I am, or they're looking, I don't mean it like that in a big-headed way, or they're looking at me like, oh, she's had surgery. You know, like sometimes when you see an old lady and her hands are wrinkly but her face is pulled up, she probably thinks you're looking because she looks good, when really you're like, fucking hell, what have you done to your face? It looks awful or whatever. And I don't want people, I know people know I've had it done, but I don't want to, say if I went to a country and they didn't know who I am, I want them to look at me because if they say, oh, she's pretty, or, oh my God, what surgery she's got. Do you know what I mean? I'm starting to look alien.
So is it for you, or is it because you want other people to think that you look pretty? Like,
yeah, it's purely for me. That's the difference. No one can compete with anyone. There'll always be someone better looking, younger coming up, better. But what they're not better at me is in a photo shoot, and I own that, I'm afraid to say. No one can challenge me at that. And that is one thing I'm confident on. So if you see me on a shoot, what am I like? I changed.
Yeah, you're very good. Yeah,
I like become an animal.
So I love that confidence. So where does the insecurity with your appearance, like, and you were saying earlier about insecure, where does that come from?
I think it's men.
Yeah, I think it's men.
Fuck them all.
Most men I've been with, in fact, probably all of them, most of them have put me down all the time, put me down. But I don't do surgery for anyone but myself because I want to look in the mirror and I want to look good and feel good. I know I can scrub up well when I make the effort, but I'm not worried about being seen without makeup. Like, if you saw what I've got on now, or I go to the shops in pyjamas, and I don't care what I look like because I know I can scrub up. It's really weird to work out what goes in my head with me and my body. I don't even work it out myself because I don't care people seeing me like this. But I want to know how I want to look.
Yeah, I think that's
And I don't
enough.
Know what that is, actually. I don't know what... something that's probably not possible.
Do you ever have a say, Sophie? And, like, do you ever say, like, oh, don't do this or do that? Or, like, is there no talking to Katie?
I think, to be honest, I mean, I can say my bit, but at the end of the day, she's going to do it and she's an
what
adult.
She wants. Yeah.
I mean, I can only say so much. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, it is up to her. I don't think you need it. You know that. I don't think you need it. And I tell you that all the time. So.
Yeah, but I don't go out with my tits on a shelf anymore because I want people to look at me, not my tits. because it is off-putting. Yeah. They are massive, but I do them for me. And people are like, why have you got them so big? Because I want to look at myself with the big boobs. I don't do it for anyone else. In fact, I don't even have them out for anyone to look at apart from OnlyFans. But that comes back to the Jordan days. Me enjoying, I don't get them fully out. But I love being in front of the camera. And that's what I know best. And that's what's made who I am. And I just love doing that. So I like doing my shoots with it. But then on everyday life, you won't see on Instagram. You won't do nothing. I never flaunt my body.
Most of the time, Instagram, you're just in trackies.
I know, and I get told off for that. Kate, make an effort, put a dress on, do this. No, I can't be bothered.
But you've come down to it again. It's like you did it just for you. And, you know, I appreciate probably a lot of our listeners can't relate, you know, exactly. But it's the same thing of like, whatever you do, make sure you're happy with it. So how you dress, are you happy with the way you dress, or are you dressing because you want to hide
track
yourself?
Tracksuits and casual.
Or like, but other people, if, you know, because
want anyone. And even like if I'm on holiday, if you see pictures of me in a bikini, half the time I've set them up myself because I don't want a pap taking a picture of me and making money off my body like that.
Hell
yes. And then if I'm on holiday, I actually cover up. You hardly see me on a beach. I cover up, so I don't want people to look and get their camera phone out. I get really shy like that, which is really weird. Why would I be shy to get it out? Yeah, I'll do it for a photo shoot. It's so
weird.
Because
you're not in control. Like you said, it's other people capitalising off of your body.
Yeah, maybe it's that, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. OnlyFans is like a lot of women, a lot of models, taking the control back and taking the ownership back. It's their body and they're making money from it. I've got a lot of time for that.
Anyone can do OnlyFans. Mm. Anyway, the thing is, it's got a stigma, OnlyFans, and that's what took me so long to do it, because you've got your porn, you can do whatever on it, but also you get a lot of professional people on it now because they do a bit of inside of their life. It's not all about getting naked, but that's all I've ever done is underwear shoots and that, and I love it. So that's why I do OnlyFans, because I've got a lot of fans who love the Jordan
era. Honestly, you kept saying Jordan is such a throwback, because I used to, honestly, as a teenager, I used to read all the magazines and watch all the reality shows, and you were just there. It was just you. It was awesome.
I know, but I might have been there, but guess what? She is coming back.
Oh, fucking hell.
But there's no magazines to do them shoots anymore.
That's what your OnlyFans is for.
And like any listeners in that out there, or anyone, you can be any shape or size. They've got to remember, there's always someone for someone's attractive to something, you know. It's not all about being skinny, big tits and all of that, because that's boring. No one wants to be the same. Anything goes on there. If you've got good feet, people like good feet, you know. You could have good lips and people just want you to just keep pouting your lip. Anything goes on OnlyFans. And I recommend anyone try it, because sex sells at the end of the day. Always will.
And on that note,
so we could talk for ages.
We could. I've really enjoyed this. It's so good.
I feel like we would get on very well. I feel like I need to invite you over for cake.
We
or
have
something.
A night out. Woo!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Two different responses from Katie and Sophie there. I answered my question from earlier about how different you guys are. I got a lot of time for it.
I don't go out much. So when I do, I'm all or nothing. Like, so she wants to go to bed like 11 o'clock.
If I go on a night out, it depends. If I'm in good company and I'm enjoying the night, then I'll stay out all night. If it's shit, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm going home.
So there you go. If you've been out with Sophie and she's gone home early, it's because you're shit company.
Thanks, Soph.
No, I don't mean it like that. But you know when you're like, I don't really fancy waking up with a hangover and looking after a child.
It's my worst nightmare.
So. But it is exhausting. It's exhausting going out with me in a club because my friends that can't relax because everyone wants pictures. And I don't like to say no, but then it's exhausting because my friends are like, just can you just leave her alone? Can she have a good time? So it can ruin their night. This is another thing what people don't understand, like being in my position, it can ruin things, doing normal things as well.
Do you have like Katie Price? Like, because you very much had like obviously Jordan.
No, I'm the same person. And that's the trouble. When I have a drink, and I get the goods bumps on my arms. It's like,
oh my God, I haven't heard you say that for
watch
years.
Watch out, because we're going to have a good night.
She'd have a little drink and then she'd go, oh, Soph, the goosebumps are out. We're going to have a good night.
Because do you know what I love? Because to go up to London, I'd get a driver. So we're all in the back with a veto, and we all pop the champagne, put on the sounds. We're having a laugh, taking the pictures as you do.
A little bit of Return of the Mac on the tunes.
And then the Mac. And then I'm like, goosebumps are out. Then I start all my poses, and everyone's like, oh, here we go. And then they lied to me when I'm out. They lied to me to get me out the place. They say, look, we're going somewhere else. Because I'm like, I don't want to go home yet. No, we're getting in the car and we're going somewhere else. And then as soon as I'm in the car, I fall asleep.
Yeah.
It's their way to get me out. We are different like that.
This sounds like a great night. I want to come to the next one. I want to go back in the car.
Amazing. I want to dress up and put makeup on and go out. Please. Do you know what? Do you know what a drenny poo is? A drenny poo, because I feel like that now.
No.
Yeah, when you're excited, you feel like you need a shit. The drenny poo.
Oh, just a nervous poo.
You've just given me that now, and I'm like, I'm only going to bed. I'm cooking spaghetti bolognese. I'm going to go.
I've never had a drenny poo in my life. My face hurts.
Before we go, we've got, have you seen the Am I the Arseholes that do the rounds online?
No.
Basically, people, like, they put something out to people and then they have to say, like, am I the arsehole for this? And then people say, yes, you're the arsehole, or no, you're not the arsehole. So we would love for you guys to react with us. These are not personal stories. They're ones that people submit on Reddit, and basically they've got dilemmas. So, yeah.
So this person has asked Reddit, am I the arsehole for surprising my partner with a strange object in bed? So my partner recently revealed that he likes some sensory things in the bedroom, ice cubes, candle wax, things like that. It's not really my thing. We've tried it and I don't like it, but he keeps pushing and pushing for it. It started to frustrate me and I wanted to get my own back. Love this already. So I decided to surprise him with a frozen fish in bed.
Oh,
he didn't see it initially. And when I started to drag it across his back, he got really excited, thinking I was going to get on board with the whole ice thing. But then he saw the fish and the colour drained from his face. He went through so many emotions. He went from pure bliss to mortified to absolute rage.
I love that.
I thought it was a funny prank that would teach him a lesson, but he did not. Am I the arsehole?
I love that.
That's fucking hilarious.
Oh, that's funny.
That's not an arsehole. It's funny. Or to put a man off, you know when you wake up and you could just feed it in your back and you go like that with the duvet sometimes. Just to say, that is the hint. Or if they try and do it up the bum, we'll say, do you want my finger up your ass? And then they shut up. Say, well, if you're going to do stuff to me, expect it back. Anyway, if you're going to get a big toy out, well, expect it up yourself as well. That's the way you've got to look at it. You're not doing to me what you won't have back. There you go.
I think that's more than fair.
I don't think she's an arsehole.
I don't think so. And also, if he's pushing her, have a word. No, see you later, bye.
Yeah.
So the fish is fried.
The fish is fine.
The fish can stay.
Talking of fishes, quickly, if you ever want revenge on someone...
Where are you going with this?
If you ever want revenge on someone, get a load of fish and pull it under their sofa pillows and it starts smelling and smelling. They won't know where the smells come from, or the curtain poles.
Or sew prawns in their curtain rails.
Stop it, that's fantastic.
Yeah, or do a shit and put the microwave on. Did you hear that? Do a shit and put the microwave on.
Yeah. I love it how you're like, Soph, did you hear that? Do a shit and put the microwave on.
So if your house starts to smell...
It's Kate's shit.
We need to hang out. And I think Sophie and Lauren need to hang out because they're both history nerds.
Oh, fuck
They were chatting for 10 minutes before you came on, Katie, and I honestly fell asleep. No offense.
But it's wonderful, but I said things and you knew what they meant and no one does, and I'm so excited.
Talking of that, so my house is old, right? Mm. And in the attic, some builders found some boxes. And in it, what is it, Soph? I was like, oh, what's all this? And she's so fascinated. She reckons it should be in museums, like the proper stuff I got.
In the loft, in this box, there's all like maps of like the trenches in France and like all like secret documents, marked like secret. It's nuts. But I think it should go to Imperial War Museum.
No,
personally.
I want fucking money for it.
No, you take it to the museum.
Fuck that. I want the money. My museum is, I'll set up a shed and people can pay to fucking look at it.
We can talk about history another time, Sophie. Don't worry about it. I'm buzzing for it.
Oh, I'll switch off on that one. Fuck it, you know. What are you watching on telly? Hikings or something? Vikings.
But oh my, Vikings on Amazon.
Well, because it's spicy.
Oh, they are divine.
Also, I've got a really, I just got a bit of an anecdote that relates to history, but then it does relate to Katie. It's so brilliant. So I remember I did history for my degree. But basically, yeah, so it was like, we'll cut back to June, July 2010. And I'd finished my degree and I was like, I never want to read a history book ever again. My brain is on fire. I need to read something that like is not a history book. And you know, the first book I read out of uni was your book, Katie. Someone gave it to me.
Oh my God, the Gareth Gates bit, the boyfriend had with the wart on his ball.
No, mate. No, the fictional book,
Angel.
Oh my God, it's the original spicy book.
No, I love that.
Right, we know the kids want their spag bowl, so we're going to let you go. But what an interesting chat. Honestly, I think you're brilliant.
Is it what you thought we'd be like?
Yes and no.
Oh, why no?
No. I don't really know. I was really nervous today and I don't know why. And because this is because, if I'm really honest, this conversation is very different to the stuff that we talk about on Go Love Yourself, like our podcast. So I was like, I wonder how it's going to go.
Sorry.
But then I listened. No. That's a good thing. Sorry, I meant that's a good thing. But then I listened to your podcast today. And I was just like, it's so nice just to hear two women talking about stuff. And I listened to your dating and heartbreak one and it was so good. And I was like, actually, I'm buzzing for it. So it was what I expected because it's like just listening to your podcast. So I really enjoyed it.
Real. It's just not been your mates,
it really
isn't
is.
It?
I've really enjoyed it.
Right. I've got to do my spag bowl. So you wrap it up, Laura.
All right.
Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God, I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did too. And actually, do you know what? I found Katie really endearing, more than I sort of thought. And I felt somewhat conflicted, I don't know about you, a little bit about having her on the podcast because she's very open about cosmetic surgery and I'm sort of not really sure how I feel about it. And I sort of wondered if we'd have conflicting views, but I really like her. I think she's just very open, very honest, very genuine. And I think for me, what was really interesting was saying about her insecurities and that it kind of made me sad in a way. I mean, we talk about this all the time about how you can be a size 6 or 26 or whatever. It doesn't matter your size or what you look like. We all have body hangups and insecurities. But a lot of her decisions, like to have surgery or to do things with her hair or her face, are all driven by insecurity and a lot of that by men. And I just found that in equal parts sad and fascinating.
Yeah, and also almost not surprising because she's been in the public eye for so long, we might know some of it. Do you know what I mean? So it's that thing and it's like, well, gosh, no wonder. I think rest assured, our lovely listeners, that we both had trepidation about the episode for perhaps the reasons that you think, but also it was a really good opportunity to have that conversation about surgery because body autonomy is really, really important. It's your body, your choice. And I go back to my point in the recording I made about you should really be doing it for the right reasons. And, you know, Katie perhaps even said maybe she hasn't always, which was really interesting. And perhaps we all haven't done things for the right reasons. You know, I definitely joined Slimming World back in the day for the wrong reasons. And I definitely spent hours on a cross trainer that I fucking hated for the wrong reasons, usually for a boy. So we've all done it. And it's just a different take on body confidence, I think. So we were both anxious about it, but I really enjoyed it. I think it's such a brilliant perspective.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that I feel like she's such a product of growing up in the media and like it's really interesting, isn't it? Like the ownership that I think the media feels like they have over her. And so no wonder like she's grown up in such a spotlight that, yeah, and even now, like she said, like she's papped all the time. There's literally people at the other end of her road constantly. There's drones over her house. I can't imagine what it must be like to live like that. And also have people comment on what you look like constantly as well. Like let alone talk about your disabled son. I think she's very resilient, but you can also tell that she is still like, and she said it, didn't she? Like, I'm still human. I'm still a person. Just a very interesting person.
Yeah. And her insecurity was really interesting because I know I've seen interviews about her say that before, but it was actually quite interesting to kind of see it in, you know, we're recording online, but in like real life.
Yeah.
And do you know what I wish I'd ask now really is about Sophie and her and Katie seem so close as sisters and I'm so close to my sister and what that must be like to see your sister go through that kind of thing or the way that the world talks about someone that you love the most must be really difficult. But I mean, they were just really great guests. We had such a good crack. I think that's probably one of the longest recordings we've ever had. Because we just chatted and chatted.
She was exactly like, you know, how she came across on the podcast is exactly how she was when we weren't recording. And I think that is true of her, isn't it? What you see is what you get. So, you know, I think she's probably very much like Marmite.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the chat and the honesty. So I'm really grateful that she came on.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We will be back next week for a new episode. But if you want more of us in the meantime, make sure you follow our Instagram at Go Love Yourself Pod and join our Facebook group, Go Love Yourself Community. Or if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email golove@crowdnetwork.co.uk.
You can also support the show by subscribing on Patreon or Apple Podcasts, where you can get ad-free and early episodes for £1 a week. Or you can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. And just a quick reminder about our live shows. They're all in London on Monday, the 30th of October, Tuesday, the 21st of November, and Wednesday, the 20th of December. There's more information and a link to buy your tickets in the episode description. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Hello, I'm La La La, let me explain. And this is It's Not You, It's Them, but it might be you. I'm here to answer all your questions around love, relationships, sex, dating dilemmas, and anything else you throw my way. Join me 3 times a week as we work through the depths of this intimacy pool together. From Sony Music Entertainment, listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.